Listen to Eric play. Love that tune. Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross Hand Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining us today. Warning, what you are about to hear is something the adversary cannot stand. We are about to teach you something that religionists can't stand. We're about to teach you something that most money-grabbing teachers don't want you to hear. Friends, we're here to talk to you about justification. This is part one of our series on justification. And we hope you enjoy this time today. Grab your Bibles and join along with us, for we are going to be on the front lines of biblical truth today. We're going to be grabbing our weapon and heading into battle as we teach God's Word on the subject of justification. What a great thing it is to have freedom in Christ, friends. Great thing. Before we get into this, just to let you know, you can reach us. You can find us on the web at www.crossandthrone.com. Again, www.crossandthrone.com. And you can also reach us by phone at 847-201-1060. Well, we're going to talk today. We're in our first part of justification, and we will be spending a lot of time, well, most of our time in Romans for that teaching. And I hope you all realize one thing, that the teaching of justification is unique to the Apostle Paul alone. And there's a great deal of confusion, I think, in the body of Christ, because we are confusing Paul's message with that of Peter and even that of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth. The message of justification, friends, number one, I want to say this, I want to clear the air right away, is not the message of forgiveness. I hear the gospel all the time being presented as, if you come to God, God will forgive you. Friends, that is not the good news. That is not the evangel of the grace of God. There's a great difference between forgiveness and justification. Just look up the English words in a dictionary. Look up the word forgiveness and look up the word justification in a dictionary, and you'll see there's a great difference. Well, so too in the scriptures. Friends, in the Bible, forgiveness, another word for forgiveness in the scriptures is pardon, is temporary and can be withdrawn. However, justification is something that is permanent. It's not temporary. God justifies the believer today through his grace, through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus, and it is something that is a one-time, never to be revoked act of God. God declares us righteous. And so we'll be discussing that. But before we go into all the details of it, we're going to look at Paul's letter to the Romans, and we're going to start in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 1, we read these words, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, a called apostle. And this is a great introduction to this letter, because you and I, when we write letters today, and even in the internet, one of the difference between the internet and when we wrote letters way back when is a letter would say, Dear so-and-so, and you may sign your name at the end. And, you know, usually people go to the end of the letter to find out who wrote it before they read it. Well, in these days, when they sent out scrolls, they would unroll the scroll, and the first thing they would see is the name Paul. And that's important to you and to me today, is that Paul is our apostle. The apostle Paul is God's chosen messenger to us Gentiles today. God chose 12 apostles for the 12 tribes of Israel to bring the message of the messianic kingdom of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth in Jerusalem, on earth. And friends, he sent Paul with the message of grace to the heathen nations like you and I. Friends, don't kid yourselves, we are heathen. Even in America, heathen go shopping, heathen watch TV, heathen go to the mall. And you and I are the heathen, friends. You and I are the nations. That's the scriptural term for it. And Paul has a message for us. The word Paul, his name means pause. And God had a program for Israel that he put on pause when he raised up Paul. It was just like, I speak reverently in using this illustration, but it's almost as if God was having a CD on, a song, and the song was entitled Israel. And God started playing that CD, and halfway through that song, he hit the pause button, and then he puts in a new CD called Nations, and he plays that one, and then when that CD is done, he plays it all the way to the end. He doesn't pause this CD. He plays this song all the way to the end. And when that song is done, he goes over and unpauses the CD for Israel. And that's basically what's happening today. God had a program with Israel. He paused it, raised up this Paul, who was once Saul of Tarsus, to go to the nations. And this CD, this program that God has for us today, will go all the way to the end without being paused. And then at the end of this program, God will snatch away his church, which is his body, the body of Christ, snatch him away to glory, and we will be with Christ in heaven itself. Heaven is the hope for us believers, friends. Earth was the hope of Israel. You do not find a hope in heaven in anywhere in the Bible except in Paul's letters. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:20. Ephesians 1 says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings among the celestials. That's far above all, friends. And that's why God raised up Paul to bring this great program and this great message to us nations. And then Paul goes on to say he's a slave of Christ Jesus. Now that term slave is interesting. There's a bunch of words in the Greek scriptures for the word slave. This is the one for an absolute slave. A slave can't get up and decide what he's going to do for the day. He can't get up and make his own plans. A slave is at the whim of his master. And Paul calls himself the slave of the greatest master of the universe. He says he's a slave of Christ Jesus. This is great. This is a bondage of freedom, as it were. This is a being enslaved to Christ Jesus is a glorious thing, because honestly, to be a slave of Christ Jesus is really to have freedom. And that's an enigma for sure. But we, Paul calls himself a slave of Christ Jesus. And friends, you and I can imitate Paul in this. You and I can devote our lives to him. We can devote our days to him and everything we can do. Why was Paul a slave of Christ Jesus? Well, Paul was a slave of Christ Jesus because Christ died for his sins. He was entombed and he was roused again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul became a slave of Christ Jesus because of all that Christ Jesus did for him. Christ Jesus shed his blood, died on Calvary's cross, and finished the work completely. Friends, religion teaches that Christ Jesus only died for a few and only save a few, and that Christ Jesus, that his work was not really successful. But in the Bible, we have a God who is successful. He sent his Son who succeeded. And what was the work he came to do? He came to save, dear friends. He came to save. And on that cross, when he cried, "It is finished," he completed the work forever, permanently. And we have truly a Savior. This is what distinguishes what we're teaching on this program from any other religion in the world. We're saying that man has a Savior who is successful, and he does all the work from start to finish. What a glorious thing. We don't have a religion, friends. We have a person. He calls himself a slave of Christ Jesus. Now, it's interesting that this term, and by the way, friends, when you read the Bible, each little line is important. God's word is important, every detail, even how the order in which it comes. Sometimes we read in the Bible, we see the word Jesus by itself. Sometimes we see Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we see Jesus Christ. Here it's Christ Jesus. Only Paul uses this phrase, Christ Jesus, because it has reference to the exalted one who was once humbled. It's referring to the exalted Christ who was once humbled. Remember, the apostles, the 12 apostles, Peter and his bunch, were chosen by the Lord Jesus in his humiliation when he was here on earth. The apostle Paul spoke of, was converted by the risen and ascended and glorified Christ. And so he speaks of Christ's glories like no other apostle does. Sure, Peter speaks of his glories, but it was given to Paul to unfold the real blessings of Christ among the celestials and the blessings that belong to his people in that place, in heaven itself. So Paul calls himself a slave of Christ Jesus, a called apostle. He's the sent one. Now, we pointed out in our last series on the life and letters of Paul that Paul was an apostle. We do not worship Paul. The greatest apostle is not Paul. Some have accused me even of being a worshiper of Paul, but we don't worship Paul. But however, we do recognize that the Lord's message and his messenger go hand in hand. God has magnified Paul's office. He has magnified Paul's apostleship because of the message, the treasure he committed to this earthen vessel, Paul. And we appreciate the treasure that God has given to us. If you want more information on this, you can get our series on the life and letters of Paul, which is a very important contribution to this subject. Well, Paul is a slave of Christ Jesus, a called apostle. He's a sent one of God. He's a commissioner of Christ Jesus. And then it says he was severed for the evangel of God. That means he was set apart. He was severed for the evangel of God. In Galatians chapter 1, and I'm turning there, and I hope that you're turning too. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, I believe. No, verse 15. Now, when it delights God, who severs me from my mother's womb, and calls me through his grace to unveil his son in me, that I may be evangelizing him among the nations, I did not immediately submit it to flesh and blood. So, we read here that he was severed from his mother's womb. And in Acts 13, we see where Paul's commission is actually put into effect. In Acts 13, we read these words. In Acts 13, now there were, verse 1, in Antioch, to accord with the ecclesia, that means church, by the way, to accord with the ecclesia which is there, prophets and teachers, both Barnabas and Simeon, called Niger, and Lucius, the Cyrenian, besides Manaen, the tetrarch, Herod's foster brother, and Saul. Now, at their ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, sever by all means to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So we see that Paul was severed from the womb. In Galatians 1:15, we learn that he was severed in Acts 13 in time when he began his ministry. And Paul says here he was severed for the evangel of God. If Paul was severed from the womb, what does that mean? Does that mean that Paul had a free will choice one day to that Paul by his own free will became an apostle or even became a believer? Absolutely not. God chose it, God appointed it, God planned it, and God one day gave Paul the faith to believe, and God equipped Paul for the ministry and took care of the whole lock, stock, and barrel, friends. We give all the credit to God for the salvation and the service of every believer. Well, we thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions, please feel free to call us, 847-201-1060. You can also find us at the web at crossandthrone.com. You can order from us, if you like, the greatest Bible in the world, the Concordant Literal New Testament, the greatest study tool I believe ever put out by the hand of man to help us understand the scriptures and the original languages. You can go to our website and see more on that. We also have Martin Zender's book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. And until next time, remember to believe God no matter what the clergy tell you. See you next time, my friends. Well, it started out.